In the shiur this evening, I would like to say over a very beautiful sicha, a very beautiful shmuz that I heard many years ago from Hagoyin Avigdor Levinsohn Shlita. I would like to share what I think is really a fundamental principle, fundamental yesod in our entire hashkofa. And it's based on the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, but you'll take a look at the end of Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Tes. There's a very striking pasuk. The Torah actually has two psukim, one literally at the end of the parsha that deals with tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. If you look literally at the last pasuk in Parshas Bo, the Torah there says v'hayu la'osal yadchad, meaning they will have a sign on your arm. That's the tefillin shel yad. U'lutotafas beninecha, that's the tefillin shel rosh. Ki bechozik yad hotziyanu Hashem in Mitzrayim. Obviously, tefillin is connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. But there's an earlier pasuk that's in Perek Gimel, Yud Gimel rather, I'm sorry, Perek Yud Gimel pasuk test. Here the Torah says, V'hoya l'chala os al yodicha, again, tefillin shel yad, u'lizikaron ben enecha. The term that's used at the end is litotafos, frontlets, and here the term is lizikaron, to remember, that's the tefillin shel rosh, and then it says, l'man tiyeh taras Hashem b'ficha, a very striking phrase, which Chazal derived many halachas from, in order that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth, ki biyad chazaka hutziyacha Hashem in Mitzrayim. If you look at the pasuk, if you have it in front of you, it would be helpful, Perek Yud Gimel pasuk tes. This pasuk is structurally very difficult. The Torah begins here, v'hoya l'cha la'os al yodicha, which is tefillin shel yad. A second later, u'lizikaron b'neinecha, tefillin shel rosh. And then it says, Leman tiyeh taras Hashem b'ficha. What's the connection between this phrase and the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh? Almost as if the Torah is suggesting the reasoning for the mitzvah of putting on tefillin is Leman tiyeh taras Hashem b'ficha. The Torah of Hashem should be in my mouth. That's not the reason. The reason is really what the Torah says at the end of the pasuk. Ki b'yad chazaka hotziyacha Hashem yimitzvayim. So why did the Torah present it in such a fashion? And in general, it's difficult to understand what's the connection between this part of the pasuk, v'hoya la'osal yodcha, u'l'totavas b'neinecha, and that which the Torah says, l'man tiyeh taras Hashem b'ficha, ki b'yad chazaka hotziach Hashem yimitzrayim. What's the connection between taras Hashem b'ficha and b'yad chazaka hotziach Hashem yimitzrayim? The connection is not clear. So the simple explanation would be that the Torah is telling you, we should wear tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. Why? L'man tiyeh taras Hashem b'ficha. In order that we should study Torah. And if you ask, why should we study Torah? What will I gain from learning, let's say, Baba Kama, Shor Shenoga Chesapora? I don't own a shor. I don't know an ox. I don't have a pora. I don't have a cow. Bet I should study chemistry. Bet I should study physics. Maybe I should study the sciences. So the Torah says here, Ki biyad chazaka hotziyacha Hashem in Mitzrayim. What do we see from what happened in Egypt? All the laws of chemistry, all the laws of biology, all the laws of physics were completely overturned, were completely repudiated. Water is transformed into blood. Light becomes darkness. Sand becomes lice. And where did this happen? Only in the Egyptian sector. Only with Mitzrayim. With the Jewish people, the Makas had no effect on us whatsoever. If you take a look at the Sukkim with Makas Barod, hail, Perek Tes Pasuk Chav Zayin, the Pasuk says, Vayishlach Paro, Vayikol Lemoshe Aron. Paro could not weather. He couldn't handle this incredible hail. We're talking about, I don't know if you've ever seen a hailstorm, maybe you've seen in your lifetime, but it was like golf balls, you know, golf balls coming down from heaven that are solidified, that are like rocks made of fire and water together, which also is impossible. So what's going on over here? Paro calls Moshe and Aaron. So I remember my father showed me, asked me, how in heaven's name did this happen? Barad is coming out like golf balls coming down. Who in heaven's name could call Moshe V'Aaron when the golf balls destroyed everything in its path? Anyone who came in the path of a golf ball or one of these hailstorms, their skulls would be completely crushed. They'd have a concussion. So what's going on over here? So my father suggested the answer to this question, that apparently Paro had servants who were Jews. And those were the ones he sent to get Moshe v'Aaron. No Egyptian would dare walk outside. But Hayotzi Mikol Dvareinu, what emerges from that which we said, and this is significant, that what works in the world are not laws of physics and chemistry, but ultimately Ratzon Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who's directing traffic, and therefore, in that respect, it's better to learn Torah than to study chemistry and physics. Only through Limud HaTorah will a person know what is the Ratzon Hashem. What is the willing? What is the desire of Hashem Yisbarach? Of course, I'm not Chas V'Shalom poo-pooing the value of physics and chemistry, which, thank God, Baruch Hashem, I myself studied for a fair number of years and took many courses in those areas in genetics and microbiology and organic chemistry and the like. I'm not in any way diminishing the value of secular studies, but ultimately, the Torah takes precedence over secular studies. The Torah is a recognition of the Ratzon of Hashem. Ratzon Hashem is that which works in this world and nothing else. And that's why the pasuk says here, Leman tiyet Torah Hashem beficha, that the Torah, in effect, is telling us, you want to know the Ratzon Hashem? The best methodology and the ideal way of doing so is by studying Torah. So, in effect, what happened in Egypt? None of the Chuki HaTeva, none of the natural processes that normally work were operating. It was only Ratzon Hashem that was at work. And the Ramban writes this Yesod at the end of Parshas Bo, maybe the most famous Ramban in Chumash. And perhaps this Ramban also is famous because here you have so many commandments that commemorate the Exodus, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Tefillin, Mezuzah, Korban Pesach. Many others are all Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Ramban debunks all the myths that were prevalent in the world. Some argue that there's no Hashem Yisbarach, there's no master of the universe. Others admitted there was a creator, but after creation, he decided to have nothing to do with the world anymore. This is the French philosophers were very into this. Others believe that Hashem knows what's going on, but doesn't care. And the Yetzias Mitzrayim contradicted all these so-called theological errors. And the Ramban goes on to make the following statement, which I will read to you right now. Min hanisim hagdolim hamafusamim, from the public overt miracles, supernatural miracles that took place in Mitzrayim, a person also realizes that there are also covert miracles, miracles that are hidden, which is the yisod of Kol HaTorah Kula. And the Ramban says in a very sharp fashion, he writes that ein la'odam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu, one does not have a share in the Torah, until one believes b'chol dvareinu mikreinu, every single thing that happens in the world, every happenstance, kula nisim, it's all miracle. Ein bohem teva min hagash olam. There's nothing which is called nature. We call it nature. There's no such thing. And what does it mean, says the Ramban? Im yaseh mitzos, if a person does mitzvahs and carries out the ratzon Hashem, yatzlichenu scharo, he'll be rewarded. Im yavar aleihem, and if God forbid, he violates the mitzvahs, he'll be punished. HaKol b'gzeras elyon. And that's essentially what the Ramban is saying, is the following. The Torah promises that if we follow the ratzon of Hashem, we'll be provided with parnasa, we'll have health, we'll be successful, and if chas v'shalom, the converse, then obviously, God forbid, it will not be a good sight. Does that in any way indicate that there are no chuki ha-teva? Of course not. Because in effect, everything is run through Teva. Hashem set into motion at the very beginning of the Bria all the laws of nature, biology, chemistry, botany, geology, everything. But ultimately, what is dependent upon what happens to us? And the answer is, it's Hashem Yisbarach, the Gzera from on high, the divine decree that's Koveya. And we see, and this is what we saw in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, Teva, nature, is completely subordinate to the Ratzon of Hashem. And if there's a need, and if Hashem so desires, all of Teva is essentially completely and totally subverted, totally negated, totally repudiated. And that's why, from the miracles of Egypt, one can come to the following conclusion. Hashem has the ability to do anything. He can go ahead and overturn Teva, turn it upside down, inside out. Bedar klav, Hashem doesn't operate that way. Hashem wants the world to operate lefi chuki ha-teva, in sync with the laws of biology and chemistry and all that. But you see from the miracles of Egypt that Teva does not have any impact whatsoever vis-a-vis Hashem Yisbarach. What he decides to do is going to happen. So now we have to understand, what does this mean when the Rabban says that everything in the world, there's no element of Teva, it's all Nes? It's not true, as I said a moment ago. Everything in the world is based on natural law. Newton's law of gravitation is fundamental. And we know there are weather forecasters who can tell us what's going to be the next few days. How do they know? The answer is they know by studying nature, by studying Teva. And they have different types of methodologies and tools that they use, which of course are scientific in nature. And we also know that Gdolei Yisrael, and all of us have probably some sort of calendar or some sort of computer that tells us when sunset is, when sunrise is, and the like. So what is Ramban saying? Everything is Ness, everything is miraculous. So the answer, of course, is it does not mean, the Ramban does not in any way mean to deny and to in any way contradict Chukei HaTeva, laws of nature. Certainly Hashem Yisbarach, as I said a moment ago, wants the world to operate lefi Chukei HaTeva. That's the entire Perek Aleph of Sefer Bereishis. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Vayehi Or. Vayavdel Elokim Ben Haor Ben Hachoshech. There's a time for light during the day and darkness at night. But a person has to recognize and has to know and has to understand, despite the fact that things seemingly are operating al piderach ha-teva, lefi chuki ha-teva, but that which is behind the teva, of course, is the Almighty, Hashem Yisbarach. He's the one who's directing traffic. When I take water and I put it on fire, what happens? The water will cook. There'll be bishul. But it's not the fire that's responsible for cooking. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's responsible for the act of bishul. If I put water in a refrigerator, in a freezer, it will obviously, either in the freezer, it will become ice. In the refrigerator, it will become cold. But it's not the refrigerator that is causing this sense of it being cold, but it's Hashem Yisbarach. Eish, fire, a refrigerator, or anything else in the world for that matter, has no inherent power. Hashem is the one who set into motion all the Chukei HaTeva, all the laws of science, and that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates in this world. So now the question is, why? Why is it necessary? Why do we require Chukei HaTeva? Why do we need laws of nature? And there are several answers to this question. The obvious answer that Rishonim give, in order that we should have Bechira Chofshis, we should have free will, free choice, that a person has to recognize when he makes a decision and he has to know what is responsible for that which happens. Why do I need this free choice? Otherwise, there's no basis for Schar Va'onesh. Our entire Torah is based on Schar Va'onesh, reward and punishment. If the person were to not have any concept of Bechira Chofshis, no free will, and no Schar Va'onesh, and the world was simply operating according to laws of science, and the world was operating according to botany and geology and biology, what have you, so obviously there's no need for anything, no need for any kind of Bechira. But assuming that the world would operate Lefi Chukei HaTorah, according to the laws of the Torah, if I would see that someone who's a Shem Shabbos has Arichas Yomim, he has longevity, he lives a long life. And we know that many, many Gedolei Yisrael live very, very long lives, Ad HaYom HaZeh. And someone who's Mechal Shabbos, or eats Nevela, eats non-kosher food, he's going to die in the spot without any reason for that happening, then no one would dare be Mechal Shabbos. No one would dare eat non-kosher food. And there's no basis in giving a person a reward, a schar for that, because certainly they would be without any foundation. So in order that there should be a possibility of schar va'onesh, of reward and punishment, which is the fundamental basis for our entire Torah, therefore, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He hides his hashkocha. He hides his divine providence. How does he hide it? Behind the Chukei HaTeva, behind the laws of nature, behind the laws of science, biology, and geology, and botany. In order that to the human eye, it appears that I can go ahead and transgress, I can sin, I can engage in chatoyim, and nothing's going to happen to me. Mamela, a person is always in a state of nisayon. We're being tested on an ongoing basis, not monthly, not weekly, not daily, but second by second basis. We're being, in effect, tested. Will we sin? Will we not sin? And when a person chooses properly and chooses the Derech HaTorah, then he's certainly worthy of receiving a schar, of receiving a reward. It's fascinating that even when you don't have the regular hanhaga of Hashem Yisbarach, sometimes you have charigot. Charigot are what seems to be deviancies in the hanhaga of Hashem Yisbarach. For example, Kriyas Yamsuf, that the Torah describes in Mishalach, was obviously a major deviation. It was an absolute pele, a wonder of wonders. And yet, how does Hashem perform such wonders? So the Rishonim point out, the Ramban, the Sefer HaChinuch, the Torah describes in Perek Yudal and Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayolech Hashem Esayom Beruach Kodim Azor Kol HaLayla, that there were incredibly strong winds that came to the fore, and one could easily interpret the Kriyas Yamsuf. It wasn't the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu that split the sea, but rather it was this eastern wind that was a massive gust that was so heavy and so strong that was responsible for splitting the sea. In other words, anyone who wants to err and wants to deny the ness and wants to contend, there was no ness, it was all happenstance, it was all coincidence, there was a very strong wind, one can do so. Anyone who does not want to see the Yad Hashem in nature, in the universe, in the world, can do so. That's the concept of Bechira Chavshis. Hashem wants us to have Bechira, wants us to be able to make a choice, because without that, the whole concept of Schar Ve'Onesh would not be relevant, would have no relevance whatsoever. So someone who realizes this and who recognizes the Koach of Bechira and who lives in a very high Madrega of Emunah and recognizes that everything is directed from on high, and we have no control, and certainly this year we've seen that in the context of the corona, where the entire scientific and medical world has been, to a large extent, stymied, completely thwarted, totally without any ability to navigate the shoals. Even now that Baruch Hashem, through a nes, we were zochet to a vaccine, but now there are all kinds of strains, what they call in Hebrew, mutatziot, that come into play. From England, from South Africa, now from Brazil. And somehow, we are absolutely beside ourselves. Hopefully, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, this vaccine will address those strains as well. But someone who's a Baal Emunah and realizes that Hashem operates and there's no need, in effect, for anything. It's all Ribono Shel Olam. There's no Koach Techuki HaTeva at all. The Gemara tells us in Tainis, some of you are learning that Masechta, Daf Chafei Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells about the daughter of Rabbi Hanina Mendoza. She once made a mistake, and she mixed up a kli shel shemen, a kli that was normally used of oil to light a candle, and instead she used a kli shel chometz, a vinegar. And she went ahead and lit a ner Shabbos using vinegar. So she was astounded after she realized that she had used vinegar, and now the ner Shabbos was lit. So her father said to her, why should you get all excited? Hashem can do anything. Vinegar can also be utilized as a means of lighting the Eros of Shabbos. And the Gemara says that it actually worked. And this vinegar that she used was nidlak till Motzei Shabbos. Why was Rav Chanina zochet to such a nes? So Hagoyin Rav Elio Desla Zatzal in the Michzam Elio, in the first chelek, page 178, explains over there, because teva, what seems to us to be nature, natural law, is only what he calls achizas einayim. Namely, it's all something that we are, in effect, being duped with our eyes. Hashem wants to test us. If we recognize and realize that only the Ratzon Hashem is that which works in the world, or maybe we'll ascribe all kinds of keiches, even to nivroim. Memela, someone who's already omid b'nisayon and realizes that ain't on milvado, there's no distinction between shemen and chometz, that person obviously has come to a madrega where he's a maimon. He understands that teva is essentially just the handiwork of Hashem Yisbarach, and therefore Hashem can also operate shelo b'derech teva, can do nisim even when there's no necessarily a specific need for Hashem to perform a nes. At the end of the day, it's all ratzon Hashem. And I saw that the Nefesh HaChayim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, in his Sefer Shaar Gimel, so Perikid Beis, also interprets this Gemara in a similar kind of fashion, namely, this recognition and this hakara, this basic understanding of who is directing traffic. Misha amal Hashem v'yidolek, yom al chometz v'yidolek. And actually, the vinegar lit, and it was lit the entire Shabbos, all the way to Motzei Shabbos. That's one reason why the world operates lefi chuki ateva, in order to give each one of us bechira, the ability to choose and to make a decision, hopefully to make the right decision, to recognize the ratzon Hashem, to carry out the dictates of the Torah, to become ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, those who truly believe in the Yad Hashem directing traffic in the world. That's one reason. There's a second reason why Hashem operates the world of Fichuki Ateva according to the laws of science and the like. And that is because it makes life much easier for us. Imagine for a moment there was no Teva, no Chuki Ateva, no laws of science, no laws of nature. So now I want to drink a cup of hot tea. I would not know how to go about and somehow boil the water. Should I boil the water in my refrigerator? Should I put it on my gas stove, on my electric stove? Or maybe I'll simply put it on my table, and by itself, it will boil by itself. Not only that, I wouldn't have a clue whether, should I drink water today? Maybe I should drink some gasoline. Perhaps that might be more effective, more efficacious, or something else. Without nature, I wouldn't have a clue what to do. Of course, I can ask a Navi. I should go to a Navi and ask him what to do. Go to a prophet. That would be great. But where is the Navi living? And who is the Navi? And how do I go? And maybe there's a Navi in Bnei Brak. Maybe Moran Sar HaTorah is a Navi. I don't think so. But how do I get there? Should I get there using a vehicle? Or maybe I can get there on my broomstick. Take a broomstick and go to Bnei Brak on my broomstick. And obviously, if there was no nature, I wouldn't have a clue what to do with my life. Every second I would be perplexed and bewildered. And then Hashem decided, let's make life easier for all you guys and for people like myself, and gave us Teva in order we should be able to have an idea of what's going on, and we should be able to fend for ourselves in a relatively normal and rational and reasonable and sentient kind of fashion. So this idea of the Ramban, that there's no such thing as Teva. Everything is Nes. But of course, there are two types of Nisim. There's Nisim Gluyim, overt miracles, such as Kriyas Yamsuf, where Hashem splits the sea. And then there are the miracles ongoing every single day, that a tree undergoes photosynthesis. And as a result, the tree flourishes. And the tree actually grows, and grows beautifully. And this idea of the Ramban, that everything is Nes, whether it's Nisim Gluyim or Nisim Nistorim, in effect, has a very significant consequence for all of us. And that is the idea of Hishtadlus. Hishtadlus means we have to work, and we have to make an effort, and we have to be energized. If everything is Nes, and there's no Teva, why should we do anything? It's all Ratzon Hashem. Everything's the will of Hashem, that's Koveya. There's no Chuki Ateva. So we should only be involved in spiritual kind of hishtadlus and nothing else. But we know that's not the case, because Hashem operates lefi chuki ateva. The world was created with laws of science and the like. And therefore, we have to go ahead and try somehow that we should be parallel to this kind of approach that Hashem has. And we have to do hishtadlus. We have to go ahead and, in effect, work for a living. And we have to go ahead and engage in panasa. And we do everything al pi chuki ateva. But it's complicated. The Mesillas Yesharim writes in the first perek, Rabbi Shechaim Lutzato, Ramchal, Hashem put a person into the world, and the war that we, each one of us face, is what he calls panim ba'achar, in the front and behind us. What does that mean? Mesias Yisharim gives a number of examples. He says, on the one hand, wealth. Person who's wealthy offhand, one could assume that's great. It's outstanding. Halabai, all of you should be wealthy. Halabai, every human being in the world should be wealthy. But on the other hand, it's a big nisayon. There's a tremendous test for an individual who's wealthy. He's confronted with all kinds of challenges. On the other hand, God forbid, someone who's impoverished, someone who's poor, who's indigent, that's also a great nisayon. So we have on the one hand, osher, wealth. On the other hand, oni. On the one hand, says Mesias Yisharim, we have shalva, someone who seems to live a life of prosperity. He's healthy, Baruch Hashem. He has no difficulties, no challenges. On the other hand, on the other side of the coin, someone, God forbid, Rachman al-Islam, who's surrounded with yisurid, all kinds of physical ailments and other issues and panasa issues. So, in effect, we tend to think that this milchama of what he calls panim ba'achor, in the front and behind us, said Mesias Yisharim. So the one who's stronger, in effect, we want a person to engage in panasa. The pasuk says in Re'eh, uberecha Hashem Elokecha b'chol asher taseh, that a person has to actually work. On the other hand, we know that hishtavlus really doesn't do anything because hakol bidei shamayim. We once cited the Ramban, if you remember, the Ramban says that all the hishtavlus, all the charitzos in the world is sheker. It's absolutely without any foundation. Ishtadlus doesn't do anything. The Mishnah Berurah actually writes this in Siman Aleph of Or Chaim, Sifkot Yud Gimel. He writes, Ve'ein ribu hishtadlus mo'ol ma'uma. All the effort in the world that I do, all the diligence, how industrious I am, how creative I am, at the end of the day, Rabos machshavos b'lev ish v'atzas Hashem hisokum. And yet we know when an oni comes to collect tzedakah, we can't say to ourselves, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu take care of him. Hashem is the one responsible for parnasa. That taina is totally and completely without foundation. The Gemara has actually, the Gemara in Ba'avasa and Avyud, Tunusufus HaRasha, the great Roman aristocrat, Es Rabbi Akiva. If your God loves aniyim, loves poor people, why doesn't he give them parnasa? Rabbi Akiva answered, in order that we should be saved from Gehenim, as a result of giving tzedakah, and we're obligated to give tzedakah to an ani, everything depends on me. If an ani requires clothing, or he needs medical treatment, or whatever he needs, I have to, in effect, treat him as if I'm the one that's responsible for handling, for helping him. On the other hand, I also have to recognize that nothing depends on me. If I don't give him, Hashem will find another way to provide the ani with what his needs. Hashem only gives me the schus, the merit, that I should be the one to give to an ani, in order that I should have the mitzvah. But not that I'm doing anything, says the Mesilas Yisharim, that's the war. Panim v'achar, in front and behind. On the one hand, to do ishtadlus, and to actually make efforts. On the other hand, to recognize that it's all Yad Hashem, it's all the Ribbono Shel Olam. Gemara actually quotes a story in Ksubis, and Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, of an ani who came to Rava, and the ani asked Rava, could you please sustain me from the kubah shel tzedakah. So Rabbi asked him, what do you normally eat? So he said, I normally have a rather very plump chicken and good wine. Wine that's aged. So Rabbi said, aren't you worried about the expense it's going to cost the community? Obviously, this involves a fair amount of money, etc. Aren't you concerned about that? So he answered, what? I'm eating from you? I'm eating from Hashem is Barach. Because it says, "Ein echol elecha yisaberu." Everyone looks to Hashem. The ato neisen lem basoch lam biito. You Hashem are the one who sustains me. It doesn't say biitom. It says biito, which means Hashem gives each individual. Rashi says over there, "Hakol vi mashu tzorich, kol yochid biyochad afili mudo." Each person gets what they need, what they deserve. So the Gemara says, while they were talking, who comes to visit Rava? His sister. He had not seen her in 13 years. What does the sister of Rava bring to her brother as a matana? Says the Gemara, a plum chicken and aged wine. So Rava understood that obviously they were giving him a resmen on Hashemayim. The Ani is correct that this is the meal that he needs according to where he's at. So mitzad echad, a person has to be concerned. Of course, I should become a welfare case and should become someone who is, in effect, a difficult situation for the tzibur. But mitzad sheni, it's Hashem Yisbarach who's the one who's giving, and not the tzibur. Atom neisin lehem es ochla beito. Everything comes Yad Hashem. This idea of ishtadlus is also relevant in other areas, even in the medical realm. The Ramban writes at the end of the Chukosai, Ma chelag lerofim beveis osei ratzon Hashem. If a person is an obed Hashem, and he's a chole chas v'sholom, the Ramban says, in an ideal utopian world, there's no need to seek doctors and the like, but simply one has to find out what is the ruchniyistik basis for the machla. And once I am misakein that machla, that ruchniyistik machla, then Hashem will remove basirosi machla mikibecha. No ishtadlus will be necessary. The Ramban brings a number of rayas to this idea. Of course, it's not relevant to us at all, to our madrega. We're not holding at this level that we simply do not seek out doctors and simply go directly to Hashem Yisbarach. We also don't have Nevi'im. We don't have prophets. In order to be able to seek out Hashem Yisbarach directly, we have to utilize all the medicine that's available, all the technology that's available. The Ramban himself was a doctor, Kayadu Alochem. The Ram was a doctor. Many Gdoli Yisrael used science and used medicine. The Vilna Gaon and the Chazon Ish, the greatest of the Gdoli Yisrael, undoubtedly had recourse to science and to medicine. The madrega of someone who's an Obed Hashem who doesn't require a doctor, that's an incredibly high madrega, and it's only relevant to great tzaddikim of incredible stature, not to the average individual, the average Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Everyone has to utilize the services of a doctor, has to utilize technology, has to utilize science, but he has to recognize and realize that ultimately who is the absolute Rofe, the Rofe Kolbasa or Mafi Lassos, is Hashem Yisbarach. They tell over that once a group of doctors came to an individual who was very ill, and he was Chole Mesukan, his life was in danger. They were trying to determine how to go about doing surgery for this individual. And one elderly person came along and screamed and said, why are you being Samech HaNisim? Start saying Tillim. So unquestionably, one cannot be Samech only on Amir HaStehillim. One has to go ahead and engage in Ishtadlos and do surgery and whatever is necessary, given the knowledge that we have, the medical knowledge. But on the other hand, we have to recognize that which is going to ultimately be responsible for hopefully the health of that individual is the Tehillim that we daven to Hashem Yisbarach and not the doctors. Everything is b'hashkocha. Everything in the world is divine providence. Nothing occurs by itself. On the other hand, it doesn't patur us from ishtadlus, especially when it comes to Torah and mitzvahs and stalking to aniyim. We are obligated in ishtadlus. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, wrote a famous letter. And he writes actually in this letter, what is the ultimate obligation of the Torah for every human being, for every Jew? L'sameach l'adam. We have to make everyone else happy. And the Gaon is telling you a very important ikar. We have to give everyone a good feeling, a hagosha, that they're wonderful people. All of us are wonderful people. All of you are wonderful. Each one of you has tchunos, has beautiful qualities that no one else has. And we don't say that if a person has a gzera on him that he should be besimcha, so Hashem will be mesameach him. Chas v'shalom. It is my obligation to be mesameach all of you, each one of you, individually, collectively. And especially it applies, of course, to my family members, to my siblings, to my parents, a husband to his wife, not to be samech on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is an ongoing kind of battle. I want to share with you a story which is phenomenal. And this is based on this idea of the Ramban that we just spoke about in the course of this year. Hashem doesn't want to do open miracles on an ongoing basis. So there are hidden miracles. And they are ongoing. On a daily basis, we're zocha to miracles. And the Ramban says that I have no chelek in Taras Moshe Rabbeinu until I believe that everything that happens to us in all circumstances of life, private, public, it's all miracles. Life itself is a miracle. The fact that I can stand here or sit here and talk to you and you can listen, or the fact that the sun rises every morning in the eastern sky and sets every evening in the western sky is a miracle. Except these miracles are disguised, are camouflaged in nature. in the nature, in biology, in chemistry, and the like. Unfortunately, we become so used to these things. They happen throughout our lives, but they're miracles nonetheless. So I heard a story from Hagoyin, Harav Fran, a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. He told over the following story. I think it happened many years ago, the beginning of the first few years of 2000. He told the following story. Two individuals, Andrew and Sharon, became engaged, and he asked the rabbi from Bel Air, California, if he would officiate at their wedding. And the wedding was going to take place, I think it was 2004, I don't recall the exact date, but the end of December somehow. And the rabbi told them, okay, I'll officiate at your chasana, provided that you satisfy four basic requirements. Number one, that both of you are Jewish. Number two, the kala will go to the mikveh before the marriage. Number three, the food at the wedding will be kosher. And number four, neither of you are married to another person. And if you are married, you have to first obtain a divorce, a Jewish divorce, a get. So the couple agreed to the conditions. However, they were very upfront, they were very honest. And Sharon told the rabbi she had been married previously. But she said it was really a mistake. And it was only for 6 hours that I was married. And I realized that it was not for me. And I had the marriage annulled. I don't want to revisit it. It was a terrible mistake on my part. So the rabbi told her that in Jewish law, it doesn't matter if one is married for 6 hours or 6 years or 60 years. You remain married until the death of the spouse, until you obtain a Jewish divorce, a Jewish get. So she said to the rabbi, but the courts annulled my marriage. Please understand that I made a mistake. It was a terrible error on my part. So the rabbi told her, I'm sorry, but you must have a get. But rabbi, what if I can't find the mistake? Am I doomed forever? So the rabbi said, listen, I'll be there for you. Let's go ahead and let's contact all the Jewish courts in L.A., and they'll help us get through this dilemma. So it took several weeks of investigation, and the first husband was finally tracked down, and they got in touch with the Beis Din in Los Angeles. They arranged the get, and the Beis Din told Sharon, now that you have your get, you can get married, but you have to wait a period that's called Havchana. You have to wait 92 days from today. That's based on the law of Havchana, which requires a waiting period before remarriage, in order to preclude doubt regarding paternity issues of a child. Let's say you have a child that may be born 7 to 9 months after the first marriage was terminated, and you all know whom the father is. Today we have DNA testing, and therefore perhaps we can rely on that according to many, many poskim. But this was the situation then in 2004. Of course, the couple was incredibly distraught, incredibly upset, because this waiting period would push the wedding day way past December. And all they could think about, as young couples often do, was their wedding plans, their honeymoon, their chosen dates. And for days, they couldn't understand why they would have to wait until January 2005 or whatever it was before they can get married. But after back and forth with the rabbi, and they wanted to get married under his aegis, they finally agreed. And after a few days, they called the rabbi back and told him they'll do the wedding, and they want to do it right, that everything should be according to the laws of the Torah. Obviously, they were not so committed, but they decided this is what they wanted to do. And they began replanning their wedding for the end of January 2005, which means we're going to be a period of 90 days, whatever it was approximately. But in the back of their minds, they couldn't understand why God was delaying their wedding. They couldn't understand that until, I think it was the end of December 2004. They were supposed to be on the last days of the three-week honeymoon in a luxury hotel on some romantic island in the Indian Ocean. And what happened was there was a tsunami, an Indian Ocean tsunami that took, I believe, almost 250,000 lives. And that luxury hotel was completely swept away, totally destroyed, decimated. Everyone was killed. And Andrew said, the best advice the rabbi ever gave us was to follow the rules of Hashem's Torah. And that's what the Ramban writes. If we follow the Darkei Hashem, the higher the Madrega of Emuna that we achieve, the greater the Hashkocha, the greater the divine providence, the more connected we are with Hashem Yisbarach, we'll be Zoche to Brachos Ad Belidai. Varikosi Lachem Bracha Ad Belidai. But of course, all this is founded upon a fundamental emuna that we see the Yad Hashem and we recognize the Hashkocha in every single event in our lives. Baruch Hashem, you are young and Hashem should give you all brachis, admeyav yesim shana, and great good health for all your entire lives. But when you get a bit older and you begin to examine all the different elements of your life, you will see the Yad Hashem directing traffic in your lives in the most incredible way. You'll be so astounded by it, so taken by it, even in the limited number of years that you've had till now, even during this Corona season that we went through. So many elements of Yad Hashem are involved in the success and the Hatzlacha that all you have and will continue to have. And the more we are dovuk to Hashem Yisbarach, the greater the emunah in V'al nisecha shebechol yom imanu, Hashem should be mezakeh all of us with many, many brachas. Halavai we should be zocheh bekarov to end this pandemic and be bli neder. Hashem will shower us with besaros tovos, yeshuas v'nechamos, lenetzach nitzochim, amen v'yomek.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Yeshiva.
Thank you. Thank you, Yeshiva.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shikach to all of you. Bruchim to you. Have a wonderful evening.